So we're continuing on in our study of the book of 2 Corinthians, and the title of this sermon series is We Live by Faith and Not by Sight. Now, the main idea in our passage this morning is to remind us as believers not to boast in ourselves, but to boast in the Lord. And also stay within the boundaries of the authority and calling that God has given each one of us. See, this is a call to us to humility, recognizing that all our abilities and opportunities come from God. And our ultimate goal should be to bring Him glory through the ministries that He has given us. So if you have your Bibles with you, would you turn to 2 Corinthians 10? We'll be looking at verses 15 through 18. Again, that's 2 Corinthians 10, 15 through 18. We are not boasting beyond measure about other people's labors. On the contrary, we have the hope that as your faith increases, our area of ministry will be greatly enlarged, so that we may preach the gospel to the regions beyond you without boasting about what has already been done in someone else's area of ministry. So let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. For it is not the one commending himself who is approved, but the one the Lord commends. Okay, so let's go back to verse 15. We are not boasting beyond measure about other people's labors. On the contrary, we have the hope that as your faith increases, our area of ministry will be greatly enlarged. Now, before we begin this morning, we need to remember the context of this passage. See, there were people in the Corinthian church who were questioning Paul's authority as an apostle and his ministry. All of chapter 10 is basically a rebuttal to those who tried to discredit him. And as we see in our passage this morning, there were actually some who accused Paul of boasting and taking credit for what they and others had done. Now, this verse puts it a little bit differently in the New Living Translation. It says, "Nor do we boast and claim credit for the work someone else has done. Instead, we hope that your faith will grow so that the boundaries of our work among you will be extended." And then the Living Bible puts it this way, "It is not as though we were trying to claim credit for the work someone else has done among you. Instead, we hope that your faith will grow and that still within the limits set for us, our work among you will be greatly enlarged." So again, as we see here, some claimed that Paul took credit for what they had done. You know, this is actually something that we also need to be careful of, that we don't take credit for what other people do. Let me just give you two examples of what I'm talking about. For those of us who are bosses, we need to be careful to give our employees the credit where credit is due. And I personally have to be careful not to take credit for some of the good examples Vicky sometimes gives me. I do steal some of her good ideas. You know, but there's also something going on in this passage, and that is comparison and jealousy. Like those fallen teachers or false teachers in Corinth, when we get wrapped up in comparing our ministries, what we're doing for Jesus with what others are doing, it can cause us to do things like, first, doubt both ourselves and God when other ministries look better than ours. But then second, on the other side, we can easily become prideful when our ministries look more fruitful than others. But then also third, we can become jealous of other people's ministries, and that's not a good look on any of us. Instead of being consumed by comparison and jealousy, we need to trust God, that He has a unique plan for our lives, and seek to fill it with diligence and excellence. See, we need to embrace our unique calling, recognizing that God has given each person a specific area of influence and authority. Instead of comparing ourselves to others or seeking to expand beyond the boundaries that God has set for us, we need to focus on being faithful and fruitful in the role that he has assigned us. And we see Paul goes on to say in the second part of this verse, on the contrary, we have the hope that as your faith increases, our area of ministry will greatly enlarge. First, we see that Paul hopes that his ministry in their church and in all Corinth will continue to grow. The word translated here as hope has more of an idea of expectant confidence. Paul confidently expected that they would grow in their faith and that they would be a help to the expansion of his ministry. I think we all know how important hope is in our lives. We can fall into great discouragement and despair when we lose all hope. Our loss of hope will lead us down the wrong path. But yet another way we can get off track is when we put our hope in the wrong thing. Our hope needs to rest in our Lord, needs to rest in our faith in him. The psalmist puts it this way in Psalm 121:2. My help comes from who? Yeah, let's remember that. Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Can I encourage you, especially when things look the darkest, hope in the Lord. Look to him. Trust him to see you through. Lean on him, knowing what it says in Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you. And God has plans for each one of us. This is the Lord's declaration. Plans for your well-being, not for disaster, to give you a future and to give you a what? Right. Give you a hope. We also see here in our passage this morning the importance of the growth of our faith. You know, the growth in our faith does have far-reaching impact. It not only impacts their fruitfulness, but it also impacted Paul's fruitfulness. His fruitfulness in their lives and in the lives of people in other places. See, the growth of our faith in God will also have a far-reaching impact, not just on ourselves, but also on others as they see your faith. Okay, so how do we grow in our faith in God? Well, let me just give you just four things to consider. The first is ask him. Ask him to increase your faith. We actually see this in the Bible in Mark 9:24. Immediately the father of the boy cried out, I do believe. He believed that Jesus could heal his son. But he says, help my unbelief. He realized he needed to continue to grow in his belief. But then second, develop a history with him. Think about the times in the past when God saw you through, especially those tough times. Reflecting on those times helps us to grow in our faith. Let me just give you one example of this. King David, when he was about to fight Goliath, he looked back at when God was with him, killing the lion and the bear. That gave him faith that God would be with him now and that God would give him the ability to kill Goliath. Then third, as things come up, say, Lord, you've got this. Basically, that's nothing more than saying, Lord, I'm going to trust you in this. What do you want me to do? Asking for his wisdom to know what he wants you to do. This right here alone will cause your faith to grow. It's keeping Jesus front and center in your daily life, actively trusting him, actively depending on him. But then, last but not least, study, meditate on God's word, as we even saw this morning, memorizing God's word. See, God's word reminds us of who he is. God's word reminds us of what he's done. God's word is full of encouragement to trust him. It's full of examples of people trusting God. Go to Hebrews chapter 11, you can see a whole chapter of people's faith in God. And again, these are just a few of the ways that we can increase our faith in God. Next, we see in verse 16, so that we may preach the gospel to the regions beyond you without boasting about what has already been done in someone else's area of ministry. We see that Paul is not just looking at ministry in Corinth, but he has his eye on ministry and regions beyond Corinth. You know, it's interesting that Romans chapter 15, Paul talks about taking the money from the Corinthians and others in Greece to give to the poor and take it to Jerusalem. But also in that same chapter, he talks about going to Spain after he delivers the money and sees them again. We actually see this in Romans 15, 25 through 28. Right now, I'm traveling to Jerusalem to serve the saints because Macedonia and Achaia. Now, Macedonia is the upper part of Greece, and Achaia is the lower part of Greece, and Corinth is in Achaia. So that's what he's talking about. The churches in Corinth and other churches in Greece gave money for the people in Jerusalem, the believers in Jerusalem. Because Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. Yes, they were pleased and indeed are indebted to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in their spiritual benefits, then they are obligated to minister to them in material needs. So when I have finished this and safely delivered the funds to them, I will visit you on the way to Spain. So we see ultimately, Paul has his eyes not just on Corinth, but continuing the outreach of his ministry. Paul was always looking for new frontiers to preach the gospel. But his point in verse 16 is most likely what we see in the second part of this verse. Without boasting about what has already been done in someone else's area of ministry. What again he is saying is that he did not take credit for what someone else was doing. As those false apostles, those false teachers were in Corinth were doing. The next verse, verse 17, is interesting in that it looks like Paul is going back to the Old Testament. And actually, he also, this is the second time he's said this. He said this before. Again, as we look back at the Old Testament, Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24 says, this is what the Lord says. The wise person should not boast in his wisdom. The strong should not boast in his strength. The wealthy should not boast in his wealth. But the one who boasts should boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, showing faithful love, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For I delight in these things. This is the Lord's declaration. And then the psalmist puts it this way. We see in Psalms 20, verse 7. Some take pride in chariots and other in horses, but we take pride in the name of the Lord our God. And then Psalm 34, 2. I will boast in the Lord. The humble will hear and be glad. But then also, as I mentioned, this is not the first time that he talks about not boasting in ourselves, but boasting in the Lord. We see it back in 1 Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 1:31. In order that, as it is written, talking back at the Old Testament, let one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Folks, Paul here is talking about humble service. We need to remember that our true authority comes from God, and it is to be used for the purpose of serving others and advancing His kingdom. We need to stay humble in our positions of authority, recognizing that all accomplishments are ultimately due to God's grace and His provision. Let me say that again. Both authority and accomplishments come from God, ultimately due to His grace and His provision. But you know, what we're talking about is not just about the church. Folks, your authority as a parent, as a boss, even as an employee, ultimately does come from God. And you need to remember that your accomplishments are ultimately due to His grace and His provision. You know, we talk about being in the right place at the right time. Folks, we need to realize that it is God who puts us in the right place at the right time. We talked about this a few months ago, but the more we realize that everything is from God, the more blessed we will be. The more we live our lives in this realization that it's from God, the more grateful we will be. The more we realize that everything is from God, the more joy we will have, the more peace we will have, the more wisdom we will have, and the more we realize that everything is from God, the more endurance we will have. Remembering that everything is from God, folks, is a game changer in our lives. Then as we see in our last verse, verse 18. For it is not the one commending himself who is approved, but the one the Lord commends. The New Living Translation in the Living Bible puts this verse these ways. The New Living Translation says, when people commend themselves, it doesn't count for much. The important thing is for the Lord to commend them. And then in 2 Corinthians 10:18, the Living Bible puts it this way. When someone boasts about himself and how well he has done, it doesn't count for much. But when the Lord commends him, that's different. You know, it's interesting. Commending ourselves typically doesn't go well. People tend to see us as arrogant and boastful, and that isn't very attractive. You know, it's interesting that our boasting is usually about who we are, what we've done, or maybe even who we know. Generally speaking now, people tend to be repelled by someone who is always bragging. And if they're not repelled, it's probably because they think they can get something from you. But then also, commending ourselves really does have little to no value, especially when it comes to eternity. But as we see here, it's the one who the Lord commends. That is what is important. The one thing that we see here is that we shouldn't strive to be a man pleaser, but we should strive to be a God pleaser, to seek His commendation. While recognition and affirmation from others can be gratifying, ultimately, our goal should be to hear God say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Again, focusing on seeking God's approval above all else, knowing that He sees and rewards faithfulness in both the big and the little things. So in closing this morning, can I ask everyone to bow your heads and close your eyes as we reflect on our time together? This morning we talked about Paul preaching the gospel all the way to Spain. Okay, so what is the gospel? Well, it's the good news about Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that we've all sinned and that the wages of that sin is death, which is eternal separation from God in a place the Bible calls hell. Jesus came to earth, died on the cross, and was resurrected from the dead so that we could have forgiveness of all of our sins, have a relationship with God right now, and an eternal home in heaven. How about you? Have you come to a point in your life where you realize you're separated from God because of your sins, and you see your need for Jesus as your Savior from your sins? If this is what you want, just tell God in the quietness of your heart, God, I realize I'm separated from you because of my sins. I want to turn from them. I believe Jesus died for my sins and rose again. And I give you my life. Then for those of us who are Jesus followers, has the Holy Spirit been speaking to you this morning? Maybe you've been taking credit for what someone else has done. Or maybe you've been caught up in comparison and jealousy, or on the other side, pride, thinking it's been all you. Maybe you've lost hope and have headed down the wrong path, and you need to lean into God. You need to trust Him. Folks, whatever's going on in your life, can I encourage you to commit even now to doing what God's Holy Spirit is telling you to do? Amen.